始まるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
ふんが。
まともに始めなさいよ。
This is 20-0. Can you believe it?
0.
Now, we're no longer living in the 20th century, but this is Anime Diet Radio episode number 20. I'm your host, Michael Hogg, as always.
And this is Raymond Hugh from the worst city with the worst traffic in the world.
And I thought that couldn't get any worse than LA.
Yeah.
Nah. This is Asia. This is cities in Asia. It sucks ass, plainly.
L.A. sucks its fair share of, I actually say anus, but, you know,
yeah.
I go a little further with that, but
yeah,
that's actually why I moved to Redondo Beach, so it's a little bit better here.
Mm-hmm. That's
oh,
good.
The beach.
Yes.
It's actually raining outside too, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
That blows, man. That blows. And yeah, and that was of course Jeremy from Redondo Beach because apparently he couldn't be bothered to actually even say his first name this time.
Come on, everybody knows who I am, or in my own little fantasy world.
It's Jeremiah.
That's right.
Or in Spanish, Geronimo.
Ooh, nice. It's like Hieronymus Bosch.
Bosch. Hey, wait, I'm not sure whether or not to be offended by that. What did you just call me?
Look it up on Google, kids.
I'm thinking Geraldo Rivera. I'm thinking Jeremy with the mustache.
Oh, we all know what we're going to force him to cosplay at AX this year now.
There will be no forcing him to cosplay about me.
Actually, have you made your plans for what you're going to be doing for AX as far as costumes go this year, Jeremy?
You know, that's a tough one. Really, with the way things are going right now with my time constraints, I find it highly unlikely I will cosplay this year. There are definitely some things I'd be interested in doing, and my wife is actually planning to do some cosplay stuff, so she will be. Mm-hmm. But I may just be the envious.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, a lot of fans of your cross-dressing are going to be so very disappointed.
Yeah, I know.
Indeed. I know. I mean, what's better than, like, Jeremy in a skirt?
Ooh.
I mean...
I don't really want to go much further than that.
Wow, Mike.
I don't
feel
comfortable with your... you know, is this sexual harassment? Is this, you know... Anime Diet Fortunes? Am I, like, can I tap into some of that? Call my lawyer?
Yeah. You can pry my $100 microphone from my cold, dead fingers.
Oh, no. Oh, man. We really shouldn't go there, because he just passed away recently. That's probably not, yeah. But when have you been known to do things in good taste, your Anime Diet? Come on.
Absolutely. And actually, speaking of Anime Expo, I am pleased to finally report for the first time here that we have, in fact, or I, in fact, have gotten a press pass approval. So I will be, in fact, doing that. Jeremy, you should be doing it any day now, right?
Yeah, I am the, as usual, the slacker of the bunch. Actually, though, no, I do have a legitimate reason to a certain extent for not having a press pass, and that was the crappy AX servers. And yes, I will say that on the air, because I tried for several times to get my press pass, which will no doubt be denied now that I've just said that. But I did try for like a week straight, you know, one day after the other, and it just, I couldn't get it through. I think it was conspiracy by Ray, but you know, that's just,
yeah.
Oh, no. You know, I only write people's names in death notes.
Yeah. Yeah, as was revealed recently in a report on our website about who the next targets of our rivals are. And which, because yes, we have been, in fact, nominated a few times in several categories for the first annual Anime Blog Awards, and specifically the categories of Most Thought-Provoking, Best Team Blog, and Best Episodic Blog. And unfortunately, by the time you are listening to this podcast, it's most likely that the nomination period would have ended. So by then, we would have known if we'd gotten into the finalist round in which everybody is allowed to vote. So, but however, we are hoping that our policy action with the our various notebooks may in fact have an effect on the upcoming election.
Yeah. So basically, like, after the time, by the time you listen to a podcast, maybe some of your favorite blogs will disappear, or maybe we will disappear.
Yeah. We don't want to. The problem is that our name has shown up in other Death Notes as well, and so don't be surprised also if this is the last time you ever hear our voices alive ever again.
Hey, we're being targeted by Lido.
Well, recently that very much seemed like the case. I mean. With the site outage that we had for a while.
Yeah, we were gone for 4 days, but we are now back, and we are now faster than ever.
Ready to rock!
Yep, I just always wanted to say that.
Okay, so we have our usual lineup today. We have two news items, and we have one piece of mail we want to respond to from someone who willingly calls himself a dork at large. And finally, we're going to be talking in our roundtable discussion about the spring 2008 shows that we've all seen so far. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and move on to our first news item. One very interesting thing that's just been happening, actually, with our website is the return of Matt. Matt is a huge fan of Code Geass. He apparently forced his college roommates to watch the first season with him, and they liked it. And so he is now our designated reviewer for Code Geass R2, the second season, which just started up about 3 weeks ago, and is by far probably the most popular anime of the season.
It just shows you the power of otaku even can overtake jocks.
Indeed. And so, however, Bandai has stumbled a little bit in trying to keep this show full of twists and turns and other surprises secret. Because sometime earlier this last week, the last 6 minutes of episode 3 of Code Geass Season 2, which aired yesterday in Japan time, was released, and it got sent all over the internet. It revealed many, many secrets and twists, and basically there were lots of rumors flying around the blogosphere that it was an inside job, and apparently the perpetrator had been arrested. And so I remember reading my Anime Nano feed, and that was all over the place around Tuesday or Wednesday. And, however, Bandai has released an official statement in which they said that it was, yes, a human error, because they were testing out different means to do their streaming audio on the Bandai channel, their official streaming channel.
Right.
Bandai basically was testing a bunch of video streaming, you know, software on their Bandai channel, which is their Japanese streaming video service. And apparently in the test, ironically, the test was to try to prevent unauthorized video posts. In other words, trying to prevent people who don't belong there from posting videos of, let's say, two of the characters in Code Geass, male characters getting it on. And and instead, it accidentally uploaded the ending.
Code Geass!
How long has it been since we last heard that joke, actually?
It's a little bit old, but yeah. Since you say two male characters from the show.
Yeah. It is a Clamp. Those are Clamp characters. is actually, but it definitely has. It's one of the few shows that has a both an equally male and female fan base. I've discovered in general. It's you know, people who love action love it. People who are imagining certain kinds of relationships, like Ogui, yeah, they like it too.
So basically, you're saying it's not just all Clamp tramps.
No, it's not. Even somebody like Matt. Matt's a huge fan of mecha and action. He absolutely adores this show, and that's why he's writing about it.
Jocks.
Yeah.
Watched it.
Yeah. Wow. The production committee apologized to those who have been waiting to enjoy the official broadcast and promised to take steps to avoid having this happen a second time. And of course, it just recently aired, and in fact, our review, or Matt's review, of this episode went up about an hour and a half ago. So yes, it just makes me wonder, you know, like, it sounds awfully lot like the kind of things that governments say when they screw up, and they have to find some excuse, like, for their mistakes, kind of like, you know, kind of like how Area 51, that was only a weather balloon, or like...
I don't know, isn't like, publicity stunts,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, basically... Oh, we accidentally leaked it, and it's only it's only the fourth part of an episode. Mm. We're not talking about the final episode, right?
No, this is episode 3.
Exactly. Oh, it's a publicity. I don't know. I would think it's a publicity stunt. They just say, "Oh, we accidentally streamed it onto the internet." Mm. I don't know. I'm a Theta geek, and I'm pretty sure this wouldn't happen to me.
It's kind of almost as believable as Paris Hilton accidentally forgetting her underwear, you know.
So. Exactly. Or like, you know, officials in the White House accidentally leaking information. You know, there's probably some interesting things going on behind it, because this is precisely the most anticipated and the most popular show of the season. And
hey, you say somebody got arrested, right?
That was the rumor.
It's like somebody got arrested for accidentally streaking. on the street, whatever.
It's really funny, because that was the rumor that was flying around on the blogosphere for one day. It took an entire day for them to clear it up, basically, when they could have admitted it, like, you know, pretty much instantly. And the thing is that, you know, even though it got pulled off YouTube and other streaming sites real quick, I still found torrents of it, like, 2 or 3 days later. Like, it was just going around everywhere. Like, people were so... interested in what happens in the last 6 minutes. They weren't even willing to wait a week or less than a week to actually get there, actually just watch the episode. I mean, they, you know, just had to find out.
Well, yeah, it might be just kind of an interesting thing if you're really into it, I guess, but I can't imagine wanting to watch just a part of an episode. No. As opposed to the whole episode. I would just assume watch the whole episode just to see the last episode. I like the kind of people that read the end of a book before that they've, you know, read the book. And hey, you know, each to his own. I'm not dissing. We probably have a lot of fans out there like that, but for me, it really work.
I mean, the thing with Code Geass is that it is one of those shows where there's like a... In the past few episodes, from what Matt tells me, there has been like a massive surprise and shock with every single episode. Like, and episode 3 is no different. There's like so many twists and turns in this show, and it's so linear. Like, you really don't understand what's going on unless you've watched it from the very beginning.
I just hope that this doesn't work out like a Real or Die, ROD TV.
Yeah.
Which is so twisty to the end, I just lost interest.
Yeah, that is a problem sometimes, I think. I think they sort of twist themselves into oblivion and, into a black hole.
You know, the image that's just popping into my head is the twist dance that they used to do, and they twist themselves into the oblivion.
I don't get it. You'll have to explain that to me.
the twister dance they used to do?
Yeah, they're doing the twist until they just explode, basically. I think I get it.
Okay.
I didn't say it was funny, but that was the image that popped in my head.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's really interesting how that just simply popped up on the radar, like, in the last spring. And it's just become a huge phenomenon. Though, interestingly enough, there have been no Pizza Hut product placements yet. No, yeah, not a single one. People are even complaining about it in the blogosphere. They're waiting for their Pizza Hut.
What?
Yeah. I know.
Are they sponsoring this the show this season? Come on.
They are. They've confirmed it. They are. So there should be more coming along the way. But I remember seeing it in episode one of the first season. Like, and in every episode following, pretty much. So I don't know. Like, I guess maybe they're just going to hang back a little bit, because my guess is that maybe they received a little criticism from some people about how incredibly over-commercialized it seemed.
Gaudy.
But now it's just been three whole episodes without a Pizza Hut logo. Can you believe it? Or so I'm told. I haven't watched them, so. But in either case, that is... Now it doesn't matter anymore anyway, since episode three has been aired and it's gone out. But whoever leaked it out there, you know, good job. You should get hired by any marketing firm all over the world right now. So even if you get put in jail, they'll hire you on your way out. Why don't we go ahead and move on to the next section?
Sure.
I've always been kind of curious about the role of animals in anime in general. We in most of the shows that I've seen, like, where pets take on like a really prominent place, it's usually like in little kids type shows. Like, right. Cardcaptor Sakura has Kero-chan, the foul mouth, not quite foul mouth, the sarcastic, like, you know, like a little plushy bear with wings. But then again, there's also Cowboy Bebop with Ein, the Welsh Corgi. And
oh, wait a second. What about the hamster? Epichu.
Okay. There's an adult example, I suppose.
What? You didn't go for Hamtaro?
No. I'm afraid Epichu is the first one that comes into mind when I think anime hamster. Probably mostly for the worst, because anyone who's actually ever seen Ebichu the hamster will understand what I'm talking about.
Oh my god.
Oh man. But in either case, yet another anime pet is going to be making their rounds, and this time it's based off a real animal. Einar, who is the pet dog of the very gothy looking...
Say that again, dude! Say that again!
Einar? Einar? How's it
You know, I'm thinking about the other end of my body right now. You just said that.
E-N-E-R. Like energy.
Dude, step away from my anor.
I got my anor cleaned this morning.
Einar, Einar, energy, I don't know how it's pronounced, is the pet dog of Japanese gothy-looking, androgynous, and fangirl-screaming-inducing Gackt. He apparently is, however, a voice actor in Mobus Suit Zeta Gundam and the new Fist of the North Star.
I suppose that makes him more manly.
I really do think, I don't want to, probably should move off this, but I do think the name Einar is much better than whatever it's supposed to be, because, you know, you can imagine him having the dog just, like, tune up his brand new gothy shoes, you know. Hey, get the hell away from my shoes, you little Einar!
You know? And, well, Einar is getting an anime and a picture book called Einar's Big Adventure. Okay, Einar, you see, is a chihuahua, is a long coat chihuahua. And Einar's job is to promote environmental issues at the G8 summit that's coming up in Japan in July. And so, apparently, Gackt coined Einar's name from his hope that the dog will spread positive energy to everyone. Though apparently, it's spreading quite something else to our co host over here, but. Yeah.
It's a laughing virus, son.
Yeah.
Einar to get anime picture book.
Yes.
Say that 100,000 times as fast.
Yes, Gak made a little picture book of his little Einar for the
All right, guys.
Oh, okay. Let's move on.
I don't want to have to put yet another explicit tag on this episode.
Come on, we're just talking about a dog's name, and we were not even furry. Come on. You can't even beep us, son.
Us? Never. But yes, apparently he is going to appear in Eco Gallery, an educational pavilion about ecology. It opens on June 1st in the northern Japanese town of Toyoko that is hosting the G8 Summit. That is according to Anime News Network. Now, my challenge to you is to find out what good causes certain other anime pets could actually promote in the world today. I always thought, for instance, that Ayn would be a wonderful candidate for like some sort of safety campaign while in space. Like, remember to turn on that artificial gravity, please. Don't eat too many mushrooms. Take out all the old food from your refrigerator. I mean, it's like, you have to have seen like old episodes of Cowboy Bebop.
I'm totally tracking with you.
But what about Menchi from
what's that? Fight World Hunger, yeah.
Exactly.
From Excel Saga. Sure.
Excel Saga, that's it.
You know, I have a good one. Pichon. Do you guys know?
From Ranma? The pig.
From Ranma in half, yeah.
Yeah, the pig.
You know, who actually is Ryoga. Yeah. So, you know, maybe his whole campaign is to be kosher. You know, because you never know. If you're eating a pig, it might actually be a human.
Oh!
Or more like, men, please, ask for directions. Yeah.
You filthy pig.
Watch y'all, watch for the water you're drinking.
Yeah.
He might actually turn into an animal.
Exactly. That's the dangers of all that. Yeah, pretty much all the Ranma characters who turn into animals could probably get their own campaign. Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Although if he turns you into an animal in bed, that might not be bad.
And then there's, of course, all the animals in Fruits Basket. There's like 12 of them in that one. They all represent the different animals in the Zodiac, plus the cat. But I always thought that Karo-chan from Cardcaptor Sakura would actually make a very good poster bear for girls' self-esteem movements or something like that. Especially with all the really cutesy fashion checks he does at the end of every episode. It's all very silly and all very girly and all very clampy. And then finally, I couldn't think of one for that really dirty-minded, like, stuffed bear and bleach con. He's always hitting on girls all the time.
Yeah, I can't think of it either.
Have you seen, like, Tsubasa, that show called Tsubasa Lost Chronicles or something?
That's kind of like the unofficial follow-up to Cardcaptor Sakura, right?
Have you guys seen it?
I haven't seen it, actually, no. Does Karo-chan turn into something else in that one?
He has a Karo-chan as himself, and then but he has this white animal thingy that you don't know what it is.
That's
and
weird.
And the campaign is, do not travel. I guess the campaign would be, do not travel with a guide. with a silly guy that doesn't know where you're going, because you might be going through time.
Yeah. Watch out for time traveling animals, basically. Watch out.
Oh, that wasn't too funny, but Menchi's funny.
Oh yeah, World Hunger, absolutely. Make sure that you have make sure you always have food.
A reserve.
Or this little dog gets it.
Oh god.
But yeah, apparently Gackt is really that famous to actually do something for the G8 summit of all things. And so it's
This is gonna be better than Captain Planet.
Absolutely.
Oh, Captain Planet.
Yep.
Captain Planet, he's a hero. Gonna get promotion down to zero. Smack! Smack! Whack!
Oh, my.
So, yes, anyone who is contemplating buying a Chihuahua, you know, make sure that, maybe you too can get your own anime one day, you know? Yeah. Anyway, why don't we go ahead and move on to the mailbag section? And we return with the mailbag. And we received exactly one comment on our previous official episode, episode 19, even though, yes, the last episode got posted just late last night. But that one is from a long, 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 long time ago. And so we want to stay current, and we want to talk to Dork at Large.
Not to be confused with Large Dork.
Yeah.
Can anybody please explain what dorks means?
I don't know. Enlighten us, Ray.
Well, I read on the internet. I'm pretty sure I read on the internet that dork actually refers to a whale's penis.
Yes, because we believe everything we hear on the internet, right? We are, after all, believe what you hear. So,
you know, dork at large would actually probably be appropriate then.
Yeah. And Dork at Large says, "Yo, Anime Diet Crew, just want to say a couple of things. Number one, I've seen one of the two tapes of the OVA series End of Summer. I think I was the one who actually mentioned End of Summer as an example of a hentai series that supposedly has a plot. It wasn't bad, just a little bit forgettable. The OVAs were based on the H game Dokusei. You can find a little information about it in Wikipedia, but there's some better information about its significance here, and he gives a link about the history of Aerogaze starting from the late 80s, believe it or not. You can follow the link in the comment. It does not actually contain anything pornographic, so it is safe for work. And but it does trace the history of Aerogaze up until 2005, roughly, and covering the explosion of Aerogaze adaptations in anime. But yeah, that's thanks for the information there. We will keep it in mind and in hand, I suppose.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, something interesting. I don't know if you guys have you guys seen Juno by any chance?
No,
I haven't. I know what it's about. It got a lot of good reviews.
It's a decent movie. I it wasn't one of the movies I would normally necessarily watch, but yeah. The lady at the video store recommended it to my wife and I, so we checked it out. It was all right. But actually, it's funny because they actually reference hentai anime in there.
Really?
One of the girls talks about Juno's boyfriend and says, "Come on, he wanks off to Japanese cartoons." And she's like, "It's hentai. It's very normal in Asia."
And just so you know, that boyfriend character is like this really wimpy. He's like actually a lot like a harem lead in anime. Wow. He has no hair on his legs. He shaves his like leg hairs, and he's got this really high pitched voice. And he just sort of stumbles into getting his girlfriend Juno pregnant. Like they just like did it on a whim.
Is this guy actually Asian?
No, he's not Asian. He's white, but.
Ray's like, "Man, this could be the story of my life."
But he's decidedly unmasculine, even for a boy of his age. And so, he's not a jerk, though, is what I'm told. He's not a jerk. He's more like, he's just like your everyday nice guy harem lead. Except he doesn't have a harem. but he is a wimp. He is a wimp, though. So,
and like moving back to anime.
Yeah, well, that was related somewhat. Number two, I voluntarily watched over half of Slayer's TV dubbed. While not many other fans like this dub or many of CPM's other works, I consider it a nostalgic favorite from the days when I bought dubbed VHS tapes because they were cheaper. That is true. Like, I do remember those days actually. $20 for a dub tape, $30 for subtitled. One episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and I did the same thing in before the internet explosion of torrents.
But was it voluntary?
Was it voluntary?
Yeah.
Well, it's voluntary as much as my budget.
Yeah, exactly. So I've never seen the Slayer's dub. I don't think Ray, you have either, right? And finally, the last point is, I guess we can open up a little bit of discussion about this. He says, number three, "Finally, I'm sure that watching streaming anime appeals to some people, but I don't have broadband at home, so I have to get out of the house in order to download anything, and I feel rather awkward watching streaming video in public. What do you think?"
Well, I think if you're watching Aerogaze adaptations in public, I feel
pretty
awkward.
It would be very awkward.
I would be very awkward.
Unless maybe you have a really huge privacy board.
couple of things, actually. I kind of ran one. One is a post I ran into on another person's blog. I need to go look up the reference. When I find it, I'll post it in the show notes. Apparently, there is this person who watches anime. No, he doesn't watch anime in class, but he does go to anime websites and he sometimes reads manga. But the two or three other otakus in the class do watch anime in class. And as you know, if you've been in college lately, especially one like in the big lecture halls that have stadium style seating where you can see what the other person is doing, apparently one of his classmates who like wasn't actually an otaku, the otaku like in front of them was watching Kanokan, which I don't know if you've all seen that show. It's a new show. It's probably, it crosses like the line from fan service into almost downright softcore porn, in my opinion. Yeah, like, and so it's like all those guys like start getting really excited when he started playing Kanokan in the middle of class. I'm telling you, in the middle of an IT class.
They got excited.
Yeah, they got excited. They were like giggling and like, like because there's a ton of nudity or stripping in the process of about to be having sex. Like it's actually like about like having sex, like or getting to the point where like you're getting to have sex, like it's not just any ordinary accidental fan service. It's
and college kids don't think about that.
Exactly, these innocent college kids suddenly started grunting and getting really excited, and so that is one instance of what happens when you try to watch anime in public, especially that kind of anime.
Yeah.
Don't
try this at home, kids.
Yes, please don't. Yeah. Especially not in class. You should be paying attention to the professor anyway.
You can't try this at home, though, in your privacy.
No.
Your
no. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Is that right, Ray? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
You in a box of tissues?
Yeah.
Try a bucket full.
I remember one of the most memorable scenes in one of the early episodes of Welcome to the NHK is when the guy's neighbor introduces him to porn, like anime porn. And like you basically, like every time he sees all this stuff, like a huge nuclear explosion goes off over his house. And then you see like a huge stack of tissue boxes just growing and growing and growing. And it was just so, it's nasty at one level, but it was also really funny. Like it totally showed.
He never looked back.
No, he did. He did. And apparently, in a very unrealistic turn of the plot, like the whole porn thing like went away after like after five episodes. Yeah.
I guess he often looked down.
Well, it's like the show, that was kind of in the early black humor section of the show. Then it became really serious and after a while. But yeah, that's don't try that at home. And my second story is not quite as funny, actually, compared to that. But I remember when I first discovered Crunchyroll. This was a while back ago, and I discovered Crunchyroll was a good way to catch up on shows that I hadn't downloaded yet and I had kind of forgotten about. And the first show I really started watching on Crunchyroll a lot was Zero No Skyma 2, which if anybody has seen it, is also a show that has quite a bit of fan service. I remember actually, fortunately, I mean, there was like a curtain behind me. It was in Starbucks. I was trying to catch up on what was going on with Zero No Skyma 2 because I was actually writing an article about it. And I was writing about how it was a guilty pleasure anime at that time. Then it got really bad. I mean, it was I gave it a bad review in the end, but it was, but yeah, I was sort of kind of eyeing my surroundings a little nervously. Like, you know, I don't think I want people to know that I'm watching anime. Like, I was supposed to be grading papers at the time, I think, I was working as a TA.
And,
working as a TA, yeah.
Suddenly it all becomes clear.
This was in the Starbucks, like, yeah, yeah.
What, you worry about some sort of, somebody's gonna actually record your actions and send it to a teacher? Oh, professor, the TA who's supposed to be grading our papers was watching kind of an eroge anime.
I don't know what it was. I guess it's, yeah, generally, and so I want to say to Mr. Dork at Large that I know how you feel about feeling awkward watching streaming video in public. And if you don't have broadband at home, yeah, that's going to be a little bit tough, I guess, in order to download anything. And streaming is probably the only way to do it. So I don't know, you know. the fan sub like part of fandom is really built on broadband in many ways. I guess it kind of reminds you how lucky we are in a way.
Yeah, well, the thing that I would ask is, you know, because the thing is, my brother has the same situation because, you know, it's just my parents live way out. Mm-hmm. They live out far in the sticks, the boonies, so he can only get ISDN. It's pretty freaking slow. But, you know, other than that situation, I could hardly see a situation where he couldn't get broadband for fairly cheap, because it's just gotten so darn cheap now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, you might have to pay another $10 a month for, you know, as opposed to dial-up, but...
Right. And also, if you are in school, perhaps your school has an anime club. Or if, or if you're in the Los Angeles area, you can join our club, Anime Souffle. You could.
There you go.
Yeah.
Get your monthly fix.
Yep. We generally try to show the latest stuff that's coming out. So that's one of our semi-official commitments. And so if you're missing the latest stuff, you know, maybe you can find other people who can help you out in that regard. And that would be one way to get your anime fix. Or, of course, lest we forget, there are DVDs. There is an industry.
A fledgling.
Yes. Yeah. There is, yes, those tend to be older.
And you'll be behind by about, you know,
about
3 years. But
about a year. Oh, 6 months to a year.
Okay.
Six months.
Oh, not so bad. But.
No, but there are still lots and lots of good shows. I mean, I have a fairly sizable DVD. There's plenty out there. There's more than enough, you know, to fill for a lifetime. I mean, so yeah. I mean, you can definitely support the industry that way as well. And so, yeah, thanks for writing, Dork at Large, and we look forward to you continuing to interact on our website, as you have on several other posts as well. And that concludes the mailbag section for this episode.
We're back to the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
And finally, we're going to wrap up, as usual, with a roundtable discussion about current anime. And, of course, we are now about 4 weeks or 3 weeks into the spring 2008 season. And I have to say personally that I find this season to be so far a lot better than winter. There's been a lot more interesting stuff to go around.
I would agree. I haven't had a chance to see as much as I'd like to, but... it definitely has a lot more potential, and what little bit I have seen has been, you know, considerably better. I mean, there was a lot of shows that I liked last season too, but there were a lot more few and far between.
Exactly. And so I guess each of us will just talk about a little bit about what we've been watching or reviewing or just and why don't you go first, mainly because you've been doing a lot of blogging about some of the more recent releases. So
I'm gonna talk about the thing one that I actually haven't blogged. It's called Kamen no Maid Guy.
Ah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that is a funny ass show. If there, basically you have a main girl character who's kind of anal, but he's kind of like, oh, I want to be this samurai person, you know, like she practices kendo and she's like, I'm honorable, and then she got this like wimpy little ass brother who has a maid fetish, and he's like your regular everyday otaku. That sounds like a funny combination already, but it turns out that they're actually heirs to like this big ass fortune, so their grandpa hired a couple maids to protect them. Well, for the younger brother's taste, he hired a pretty good looking girl, but she's very capable. But guess what? For the older, for the sister, he hired a guy, a freaking big muscular guy who talks like one of those samurai guys from the old.
Ooh,
like... yeah, in a full fledged female maid outfit. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, I gotta see this now.
You have to see it, and he does so many awkward things that will make a girl like scream. He practically breaks her privacy, but he's
practically
not at all.
Practically breaks her privacy, like he's bringing her a new clean bra and stuffing it in her bag while at the locker room. while she's not there. You couldn't possibly wear that filthy, dirty bra.
And then, that's right. And later, he basically just open her shirt and start talking to everybody. He says, "Master, these are dirty. How could you wear that sweaty, dirty thing for home when I got you prepare something nice and clean?"
Wow. That sounds like a riot. So, Jeremy, you watched that too?
I did. And, you know, I found it funny. My wife really doesn't care for those shows that much. she didn't enjoy it as much. But I found it humorous. I don't know. It has a lot of potential. I'd like to see where they go with it. Mm-hmm. And where they don't go with it, hopefully. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It could be a little too over the top. But it's definitely... I like when they are kind of, you know... Just, I like the extremes of it. Just the extreme nature of it. You know, the big huge guy in a maid outfit is already funny. So,
yeah,
this is not a fan. It's actually not a fan service show. Okay, they don't make the girl naked a lot.
Ah, so it's more focused on the guy huge guard dude in a maid outfit. More than that, right?
Well, and then bursting into this girl's privacy, I mean, basically destroys her privacy.
Right.
He's not a stalker. No, he's like saying, "I'm your servant. This is my job." And ironically, yeah, it is kind of his job.
Mm. It's the Bizarro World version of Hayate no Gotoku.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yep. If Hayate wasn't such an androgynous guy who looks really good in a cat girl outfit. If he was manly instead.
Can I agree with that? I'm a little uncomfortable that you said that, but
Mike, I was like, "Oh, you just said that." Oh.
Yeah.
So any other shows, Ray?
Why don't I just pass the ball on to the next person?
Okay. I've been reviewing some. I've been reviewing, first of all, the one show by Gonzo, which is part of their experiment in legal streaming and downloading, which is the Tower of Druaga, which is really, really interesting for what it's trying to do, because the first episode took everybody by surprise. The first episode was basically a huge parody of every single shonen fantasy cliche in existence, and I thought it was a huge laugh riot. Unfortunately, by the end, you could probably tell that they weren't going to continue in that vein anymore. That basically what it was is that that was going to be a one-off joke. And in fact, they had animated an alternative episode 1, which was shown only in Japan on one particular Japanese streaming site, which was more regular, more serious, more kind of, you know, your standard, fairly standard adventure. And by episode 2, it's really just become a pretty ordinary fantasy type show in which the main character is this really incompetent boob who can't do anything, he can't fight, he runs away when in danger and everything like that, but he's still trying to gather a party to go defeat the evil god at the top of the tower. And
does he get a Nekomimi girl?
Not a Nekomimi girl, but he does get two girls. So far, by episode 2. Haven't watched episode 3 yet.
A black mage and a white magician and a knight.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, pretty much. You got it. A healer and a big girl with a silent girl with a big sword. So yeah. and then it looks like at the end of episode 2, he may have been caught doing some sort of crime that he didn't commit. And so it's proceeding on a much more, I guess you call it, a normal path now, which is disappointing, because I really found the first episode to be so incredibly funny, and we really need more parodies of video games and fantasy adventures. And there was even a really blindingly obvious Star Wars reference for good measure as well. But that was the Tower of Druaga. I'm still actually downloading and actually, you know, paying $1 to $2 per episode, because I really do think it's a fantastic idea what they're doing. And I think we need to support that anyway. Even if the show itself is kind of mediocre, honestly, at this point. I watched a couple of the highly touted shoujo pieces, Itazura na Kiss and Special A.
What is with you at shoujo shows anyways?
I really kind of liked It Deserved in the Kiss because it really reminded me of Marmalade Boy, which is a show that I really kind of...
Bro, this girl a freaking spy. Oh my god.
You didn't watch episode 2, did you? She has a really devious side. He has a really, really devious and calculating side that gets revealed in that episode. Believe me. Yeah, the girl. Yeah, Kotoko. Oh. Yeah. Big time. That was what like cemented it for me. That's what made her really likable for me. Because the typical shoujo heroine is usually like this kind of dumb, ditzy, energetic girl who is basically pining after somebody who is way above her station. Like, who also happens to be a jerk. Like, and usually the twists and turns of every plot is about how those two get together anyway. But this girl actually possesses some intelligence and possesses some moxie, and I like that. So, and it's actually just a really enjoyable, funny, you know, mildly slapstick kind of humor. Special A, on the other hand, is very interesting.
Would you like some Special A with your breakfast?
Yeah, it actually stands for a Special A class. Like, that's actually the full title, and it's really interesting because it's a lot of people accuse it of being kind of the poor man's version of Ouran High School Host Club, but I don't see that at all. I mean, there's some superficial similarities in the setting, I suppose, like, and in the way that, you know, these are all really smart people, and that they're all in one club sitting around drinking tea in a big arboretum, but it's...
Oh, is this yaoi or something, by any chance?
No, not at all. Not this time. Ouran was really good mostly because it was satire. It was making fun especially of the whole yaoi thing and with all the screaming fangirls in tow. I mean, but this is more like the main action centers around like the main girl who's always ranked to number 2 in everything versus the main guy who is always ranked to number 1 in academics and in sports.
Karikano?
It's a lot more like Karikano.
Yeah, I was definitely going to mention that too.
It's a lot more like Karikano, except that it's Karikano with pro wrestling. like in episode 2.
Mexican pro wrestling.
Yeah, it is Mexican pro wrestling. They have the mask on.
I haven't seen episode 2. I just know she has a lot of like crazy challenges that she
right.
challenges the antagonist too.
Yeah, and so it's really just like a series of kind of rivalries, which of course inevitably will lead to love. But well, I just find all the challenges really, really amusing. And there's this brother and sister pair. The sister is apparently mute or something like that, so she has to hold up a sign whenever she wants to say anything.
Actually, I think the thing is that she doesn't want to use her voice because she's saving it to be able to sing.
She's apparently a renowned singer or something like that, but I thought there was a moment in an episode where they actually get her to sing, and then they all like, flee, cover your ears!
No, yeah, because it's just so powerful.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've really gone so far as to say it's bad, it's just her voice is just...
Yeah. But yeah, that kind of reminded me of Shion No-O, because that's what the main girl in Shion No-O does as well. She communicates by writing signs.
By writing down, uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, it's actually a relatively interesting cast of characters, and they go through a lot of slapstick humor, and it's only at a few points. It's not, like, Itazura and the Kiss is definitely almost obnoxiously shoujo. It's one of those things where they are doing the formula, like, right down to a T. The art style is exactly the sort of thing that they would have done in the 1990s, and it was, like, it is, I mean, it came out around the same time as Marmalade Boy, like the manga. It came out before Marmalade Boy, in fact. And it's already been adapted twice into live action, including one in Taiwan, just really, relatively recently. And so it's that sort of thing apparently is really, really popular. And that formula seems like it will never die. Last show I actually do want to talk about, though, is Allison and Lulia. I think both Ray and I have been watching this, right? I think you have a review of episode 3 almost ready to go, right?
So, yeah.
But in either case, that's, I think, the most promising thing I've seen this season so far. It is definitely hearkening back to kind of a Ghibli-style adventure, as Ray pointed out in his review. It really reminds me of Last Exile, as well as Castle in the Sky. And it's about a boy and a girl who are both... The girl's a pilot for the Air Force in a semi-1920s, 1930s kind of world.
Right.
Between two superpowers who are traditionally rivals and have gone to war with each other before. And they are trying to find a treasure that will potentially end the war between the two powers. And so they're kind of going off on adventures together. And I mean, it's got a wonderful opening song, for one thing. Absolutely gorgeous opening song. And if you love flying, and apparently if you love airplanes, because Crusader on our website pointed out that those airplanes are very consistent with a very specific time period, so he probably knows a lot about aviation. And if you love airplanes and flying and that sort of thing, and if you're just in the mood for until Miyazaki puts out his next movie sometime later this year, you know, you would do more than well to check that out. So anyway, why don't I go ahead and let Jeremy have the last word as to what he's watching?
Oh, well, you know what? Pretty much just some of the same things you guys are watching, but and there's really only one show that I want to talk about. Unfortunately, I had been looking forward to seeing this, hadn't really had time except to see one episode just today. Mm-hmm. So my thoughts are really kind of pretty fresh. But basically, today I watched Soul Eater. Which just by the you know storyline synopsis that I read and the character design backgrounds, the artwork really was really interested in seeing this. I don't know that it necessarily be for everyone, but if you're a fan of shows like Furikiri, this show probably is right up your alley.
Oh, I mean, wow, cool.
It really has just really some incredible, unique art style. I mean, it's along the lines of like Furikiri, but they actually, the entire world really is very, how can I say? The series is kind of warped, and so it's almost the world itself seems kind of warped to match it. And the characters are very, very interesting. I like the fact that they... They seem maybe the names maybe a little bit cliche, but I like the fact that they play off a lot of pop culture in the character names, like specifically old pop culture. If anybody is old fans of Pink Floyd, they might get that there is a character named Sid Barrett.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah,
I know what that means.
Yeah, and he was actually
the first lead singer,
original frontman for
first.
For Pink Floyd.
So, that's correct.
For those of us. And there's a lot of plays on pop cultures in the sense like that this and part of the show they have to the two main character who is basically a Shinigami and her Skive, which is like a person that she actually who transforms into her Skive, have to basically collect souls, basically. Particular types of souls that have been tainted and usually turned evil, whatnot. They have to collect so many of those. When they get enough, then they have to collect the soul of a witch. And so who do they go to? They go to the house of the witch, Blair.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
And who it turns out to be this really buxom, cute... which that is pretty much all but seducing the her Skive away from her, so, who happens to be male, and so it's a fun show. The characters, there's a lot of humor, a lot of wackiness, a lot of just really really trippy artwork. The colors are very nice. I think the one thing with Furikiri is that the colors in Furikiri very well suited for that show, but much more muted. These colors in this show are very bold, you know, dark, thick lines. Everything is very stands out really well. So I'm really looking forward to see more of it.
Oh wow, that was different from what I was initially told about that show. But Ray, you've actually watched that too, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Like I said, it's just everything that Jeremy said, but it's funky, it's interesting. Like the characters has personalities and their interactions are very well, and the artwork is fun.
Mm.
It's a whole big ton of fun without cheesiness.
Oh
yeah,
wow.
Without it's a lot of fun. And I love the interaction between and you'll have to forgive me the main. Because, like I said, I just watched it really quick today. The main Shinigami girl character. Right. Do you remember what her name is?
I don't remember any names until I was five. So
right, exactly. Well, the main Shinigami character, her Skive, basically which is named Soul Eater, which is actually, I remember that. The series is named after that. Maka is her name. I'm sorry. It's Maka. Yeah. He calls her very affectionately Tiny Tits.
Ooh.
Actually, it's a little bit less than affectionately and kind of compares her to the witch character and kind of says, you know what, you're really no comparison.
Nice, nice. Yeah. That sounds really entertaining. I have episode one sitting on my hard drive, but I haven't watched it yet. Yeah. Now I really want to check it out, actually. Yeah.
It's got a good twist at the end of it, near the end of episode one.
And as per your question on cosplay, if I could get some other people to do characters from the show, I would love to do one of the characters from the show. I'm not sure which yet, but I doubt I could pull it off in the amount of time that I have. But
nice, nice. You'd be all ahead of the curve. Yep. Yeah, because it usually takes a little while for the costumes, just, you know, cosplayers to start coming out with a lot of
things.
This
was a manga, too, so it's possible that some people are actually already doing it.
Right. I mean, I remember actually looking through my art, like photo archive of pictures I took at Otakon 2005, which was the last Otakon I attended. I took lots of pictures of cosplayers then, and, like, apparently, like, I had never heard of Death Note at the time, but apparently I did, in fact, take a picture of a Light and a Ryuk holding an apple, and so apparently, yeah, at that time, it was probably only manga fans who were doing that, so yeah.
And that's kind of my favorite thing to do, too. I really don't like cosplaying so much. I mean, I have a character from Bleach that I really like, but I was doing that pretty early on, and I really prefer, you know, being a little ahead of the curve on that if I do get to do it.
Nice, nice. Well, does anybody have anything else to add, or should we conclude this 20th century episode of Anime Diet Radio, episode 20? This has been your host, Michael Huang, not an employee of Fox.
And this is Remy Hugh, and the city still sucks.
This is Jeremy from Redondo Beach, signing out. Honey.
See y'all later.